So we have come at last to the culmination of Lent, and now we stand at the beginning of the end, the last, darkest, most important moment in this season of penitence, reflection, and self-denial. Over the next week, we will walk with Jesus through the lowest point in human history, where we betray, deny, and crucified our Lord and Creator. I grew up in the Episcopal Church, and so I've always wondered at how other faith traditions can sometimes see to speed ahead so easily to Easter. They just sort of bypass the events that might come before it. But for me, walking through the darkness, walking through death, makes light and joy and the celebration of Easter that much brighter, sweeter, and more meaningful. During this season of Lent, we have sought to prepare ourselves for the coming of Easter, to focus ourselves more fully on God, to try to make ourselves just a little bit more like the people that God wants us to be. Our scriptures during this season have reminded us about who God is, what God values, and what God is asking us to value too. Our scripture readings have called us to consider what kind of work we need to do in ourselves to become more aligned with God's will. We've been called to repentance. We've been called to turn towards God and away from things that corrupt and defile us. This past week in our Wednesday Lenten series, our devotional said that with patience and with focus and, of course, with God's help, we can figure out what in our life needs to be watered and what needs to be weeded. And there is perhaps no season better than Lent in which to consider what we need to nurture and what we need to pull out by the root. Our scriptures this Lent have reminded us that God is calling us to be about justice and mercy and love, especially for the marginalized, the oppressed, the poor, the downtrodden, the outcast, the unloved, and the lost. God calls us to give up power, turn our back on pride and hypocrisy and self-serving ambition. Because in the week ahead, what we will see is true power. We will be asked to orient our lives around a God who chooses to serve rather than to subjugate. All of our Lenten journey has led us here to this Palm Sunday, following in the footsteps of Jesus and his ministry. It's also led Jesus here too, to Jerusalem and the terrible things that will take place there. So much of the human experience, so much of our relationship with God is wrapped up in this single Sunday, both the highs and the lows, the best of what humanity has to offer, but also the very worst. In Palm Sunday, we are asked to consider the whole of the complicated relationship that humanity has had with God, how we have both worked with God to create a world that's more whole and good and just, but also how we've worked against God, letting our selfishness and pride, our anger and fear overcloud our better judgment. Palm Sunday asks us to consider our own relationship with God. How have we worked to build up the kingdom? And how have we also worked to tear it down? Perhaps no Sunday better displays the whiplash of the human story with God than this one, where in a matter of minutes, we go from chanting Hosanna to God and then calling for God's death with shouts of crucify him. On a day like Palm Sunday, we feel the weight of our tendency towards inconsistency and capriciousness, our ability to both praise God and in the same breath wound God in such a short period of time. On Palm Sunday, we cannot push away the guilt of God's sacrifice onto someone else. It wasn't just some evil or misguided people some 2,000 years ago. We sin today, even knowing the full scope of Jesus's sacrifice, and we are thus just in need of saving as those people who called for Jesus's blood on that fateful day all those years ago. We must contend with how we, like they, can at once praise and bless God's name, proclaiming God's goodness and presence among us, while continuing to be the people who sin, who grieve God, who hurt ourselves, each other, and God's glorious, beloved creation. Of course, human inconsistency and human foolishness, human sin, is not now, nor will it ever be, the final word in our relationship with God. God's love for us has always been the beginning, it will be the end, and it is now everything in between. The reason for all of this, the reason that we are here at all, the reason that we're still telling this story thousands of years in the future is love. God loves us so devastatingly much that God is willing to be betrayed for us, and not just by enemies, but by his own friends, his chosen followers who deny him and desert him in his darkest moments. God loves us so much that God is willing to be humiliated, to endure a sham of a trial, a gross parody of justice, and to watch as the crowd cries for the release of a murderer instead of the Prince of Peace. That same crowd that praised him only days before, now calling for his death. God loves us so much that in the person of Jesus, God is willing to be condemned, mocked, spit upon, beaten, paraded through the streets. And in the end, God is willing to die simply because of how much God loves us, because how much God so utterly and completely wants to be with us. So on this Palm Sunday, and during the upcoming services of Holy Week, we enter more fully into the divine mystery, the presence of God's love, hearing once more not just the story of human failing, but the story of a love that's strong enough to overcome it. May we follow that love to the cross and to the grave and into the joy that we know will follow. Amen.